Eternity's Echo, JFK's Last Stand, Chapter 7, Command and Contain. At the Tunnel to Creation, the situation spirals further out of control. What began as a minor disturbance in the lab has escalated into a full-scale crisis. The once stable environment now hums with chaotic energy as the rift stretches the boundaries of known science and sanity. Dr. Krauss, his voice panicked and shaking, says,
"The readings, they're beyond anything I've ever seen. The rift is expanding at an exponential rate. We are losing. We are losing control of it forever."
His assistant Emily is desperate, nearly pleading.
"We have to shut it down somehow now. If we don't, the entire facility could be consumed, and this could be bigger than we ever imagined. There are nuclear fuel rods here."
Krauss says, frantic, cutting her off,
"It is too late just to shut it down. The rift has already embedded itself in the structure of reality. If we cut the power now, it could open a tear that nothing could stop."
The lab is a scene of barely contained chaos, the air thick with fear, and the scent of overheating electronics. The rift, which was once a mere curiosity, is now an uncontrollable force, warping the very fabric of space and time. The scientists' faces are etched with a dawning horror as they realize the gravity of their situation. Emily, shouting over the noise, her voice cracking, says,
"We need to find a way to contain it. What about the containment fields? We haven't tested them under these conditions, but what choice do we have?"
And Krauss, desperate and resolved, said,
"Do it. Do it. Activate all the containment protocols and pray that it holds. We're past the point of no return. If we fail here, it is not just a lab that is at risk. It is everything."
Alarms intensify, the hum becoming a deep, bone-chilling vibration as if the rift itself is alive, hungering for more. In their frantic effort, the team activates the containment fields, but it's like trying to hold back a flood with a handful of sand. The rift pulses with a malevolent energy, pushing against the barriers with an insatiable hunger, growing stronger with every second. Emily whispers to herself, terrified,
"What have we done?"
Meanwhile, deep within the rift, something far more terrifying stirs. It's no longer just an anomaly. It's a sentient force, aware of its existence, feeding off the chaos it has sown. The struggle to contain it is not just a battle of science, but a fight for survival against something that defies all comprehension. Meanwhile, back at Princeton in 1962, Hugh Everett sits in his cluttered office, surrounded by books and half-filled notepads. His mind races as he pieces together the final, terrifying puzzle about the Tunnel to Creation. The connection between the anomalies there, his research, and his own calculations is undeniable. But is it too late to work? The more he considers the implications, the more he realizes the catastrophic potential of the situation. The rift, not just expanding, it's behaving like a black hole, pulling in everything around it, distorting time and space. If we don't find a way to stabilize it soon... His phone rings and it's the president.
"Hugh, what's happening? I just received another report. Things are escalating by the minute. We need answers."
And Everett says, gravely but controlled, "Mr. President, we're in deep trouble. The rift is growing faster than I anticipated, and it's not just a tear in the fabric of reality. It's creating a cascade effect, a chain reaction that's pulling at the very seams of existence. If it continues unchecked, it could unravel everything."
"What is he proposing to do, Jack?"
he hears coming from Bobby in the background of Jack's office. And Everett speaks up. "Well, there was an experiment, more of a thought experiment, never really tried, back in the 1940s or 50s, where they would seek to heal a rift using antimatter. Now, the problem with that is they couldn't find enough antimatter. But if they had it,
the equations, as they played them out, they seemed to check out. And I did my own little simulation and modeling as much as I could, and it does in fact check out. Okay, Resolute, with a steely edge, says,
"Then we don't have a moment to lose. We'll mobilize every resource, every mind we have, and it isn't just about and stopping an anomaly. It's about preventing a disaster of unimaginable proportions. We're not just fighting for our world, Hugh. We're fighting for all of them."
And Everett nods, though JFK can't see him, his voice firm. "I'll do everything I can from my end, but I think that might be our best bet to stop this runaway rift with the antimatter that it arose from in the first place. But we're going to need more than just science to close the rift. We're dealing with forces that transcend our understanding. It's going to take everything we've got, courage, innovation, and also a bit of faith." With Everett's plan presented to the president, he and Bobby discuss it. The pieces are finally in place, and the full gravity of the situation is now clear. The race against time is not just about saving a single world, the Earth. It's about preserving the very fabric of reality across countless dimensions. As Everett and the president mobilize their efforts, the stakes have never been higher. The scene shifts to a sprawling military base, where the air is thick with tension. There is the distant roar of jets overhead and the rhythmic clatter of boots on concrete, underscoring the gravity of the situation. In a large briefing room, JFK stands at the front, his face etched with determination. Beside him is Dr. Hugh Everett, who prepares to explain the dire reality to a group of high-ranking military officials, scientists, engineers, and operational experts. The president, addressing the team, his voice steady but urgent, says, "Gentlemen, we are facing a threat unlike anything we've ever encountered. This isn't just a military issue. It's an existential crisis. Dr. Everett will break down the science for you, but here's what you need to know. Everything we've ever fought for or achieved could be lost in the blink of an eye if we don't give it everything we've got." Everett stepping forward, holding a set of notes, eyes the room, the officials looking at him curiously. He looks out of place with his glasses, his pudgy build, and his rumpled suit. "The rift we're dealing with isn't just a tear in space, it's a tear in the fabric of reality itself. It's drawing in everything around it, matter, energy, and even time. And as it grows, it's destabilizing the fundamental forces that hold our universe together. In short, if it goes unchecked, it won't just consume this world, it will consume countless worlds across all of the many worlds that exist." A top military advisor, raising an eyebrow skeptically, says, "And how exactly do you propose stopping something like this, Doctor? We're talking about forces beyond our understanding." And Everett nods, acknowledging the skepticism, but remains resolute. "Well, it's true, we're dealing with forces that challenge our understanding, but we're not entirely powerless. The key lies in antimatter. By using antimatter to counteract the rift's expansion, we can neutralize its destabilizing forces and potentially close it, seal it off. It's an incredibly risky option, but it's our best bet and perhaps our only chance." Another advisor raises a very compelling objection.
"No one can find antimatter anywhere, and yet you plan on finding and using enough to stop an entire rift that wants to consume the universe. So where is the antimatter going to come from?"
And Jack Kennedy steps forward. "As your president, I can assure you as the commander-in-chief, we have enough antimatter. I cannot tell you under top secret orders as how we found this matter, but it is available. And you shall use it to save this world and possibly every world beyond it. Are you with me, gentlemen?" The president wasn't fibbing. The one advantage of the experiment in finding the helium anti-nucleus over at the Tunnel to Creation was that they had now devised a breakthrough process called the quantum catalyst effect, allowing them to amplify and generate more and more antimatter on demand. They then simply sent it down the portal while it still was operational to 1962 and the Oval Office. Kennedy took care of the heavy lifting, literally, with Bobby. Now, your commanders are going to tell you that this is very, very potent explosive stuff. And I would agree with them. I myself have handled it. But I would tell you, you must be very careful because you can easily blow up not only yourselves, but your fellow soldiers too. The room buzzes with murmurs of concern and agreement, the gravity of the task weighing heavily on everyone present. The president feels compelled to continue. This isn't just about saving one world, gentlemen. We're fighting for the survival of countless realities, for the very fabric of existence. I won't sugarcoat it. This mission is dangerous. But we have no other choice. We must act, and we must act now. And it is the antimatter that may be the only way we can stop the runaway rift. Meanwhile, the rift, once an intangible anomaly, now swirls into a formidable dark vortex, a mass of seething shadows pulsating with an eerie, malevolent glow. And as it grows, the scientists' efforts to contain it falter. The rift is no longer a passive tear in reality. It is a sentient force that is bent on destruction.
You think you can stop me? Fools! I am entropy. I am the end of all things. I am disorder. Your world will crumble, and I will be free.
The rift pulses with energy, distorting the space around it, causing lights to flicker and machinery to groan at the tunnel to creation. And Everett says grimly, "The rift, it is resisting us. It is aware." And JFK says with steely determination, "We can't let it win. We face worse, and we will face this too together." And that rift, while it stood up to the best efforts of that lab, it has not met its match yet with antimatter. And meet its match it will, for it itself is made of antimatter. As the rift grows stronger, feeding on the fears of those who stand against it, the battle is no longer just physical. It is a battle of wills against a force that seeks to unmake the very universe. As the safeguards to the tunnel of creation crumble and the rift devours reality itself, the weight of the universe's fate now rests upon the shoulders of a president out of time, an elite force of warriors, and the unpredictable force of antimatter. In this desperate hour, they must rally together not just to save their world, but all worlds across the infinite tapestry of existence.